Welcome to Covenant Presbyterian Church in West Des Moines, Iowa. This sermon is part of our mission to bless our neighbors to the glory of God. We hope it blesses you.
Let us pray. Appear to us now, O Lord, in the hearing of your word. Call us and guide us, that we may be saved. Amen. The scripture reading this morning is from the New Testament, Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 through 14. Found on page 8 of the New Testament and also on the screen. Please read with me. Do not judge so that you may not be judged. For with the judgment you make, you will be judged. And the measure you give will be the measure you get. Why do you see the speck in your neighbor's eye, but do not notice the log in your own eye? Or how can you say to your neighbor, let me take the speck out of your eye, while the log is in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your neighbor's eye. Do not give what is holy to dogs, and do not throw your pearls before swine, or they will trample them underfoot and turn and maul you. Ask, and it will be given you. Search, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened for you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who searches finds, and for everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. Is there anyone among you who, if your child asks for bread, will give a stone? Or if the child asks for a fish, will give a snake? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good things to those who ask him? In everything, do to others as you would have them do to you. For this is the law and the prophets. Enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide, and the road is easy that leads to destruction. And there are many who take it, for the gate is narrow and the road is hard that leads to life, and there are few who find it.
For 3 weeks now, we have been up on a mountain listening to Jesus. And he's been talking about how we relate to the law of God, and he's been talking about how we relate to God through prayer and fasting and almsgiving. And today he's been talking about how, because of the way we relate to God, we relate to each other. And that sermon is about to end. So if you feel like I preach kind of on and on, like Jesus has been giving the same sermon for 3 weeks running. So, but it's about to end. Picking up the reading here in verse 24. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and acts on them will be like a wise man who built his house on rock. The rain fell, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall, because it had been founded on rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. Now, when Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were astounded at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as their scribes. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I have a scar on my forearm, right about here. And the scar is way more impressive than the dog bite that gave me the scar. But for some reason, man, that scar is just like, boom. So we had neighbors who had a dog who got out all the time. And we could always hear the neighbor kids out calling for the dog and trying to get him to come back, and they'd eventually track him down and get him rounded up and back into their house. Well, one day, the dog showed up and the kids didn't know it yet. And so the dog came to our gate and I went to put a leash on him and walk him back home, and I got bit. And it was not a very big bite. It was like one tooth kind of scraped along my arm there. And it was just like this really, this defensive warning nip, right? And so, like I said, the scar is a lot more impressive than the bite itself was. I didn't actually even realize that I was bleeding until after we had gotten the dog back to his house and I was on the way back home. As far as I can tell, the dog was up on its shots, because I haven't come down with anything, and this was years ago. So, but I think rabies is one of those that you have to put the dog down before you can find out. So check back later, we'll find out. But that scar just kind of sits there, and it keeps this incident on my mind, because it reminds me of the choice that I have. Because sometimes dogs are going to bite. We know that. And so the question is, how am I going to approach dogs that may bite and may not? Of course, that's not only about dogs. Sometimes people bite too. And so the question remains, how am I going to approach them? Now, I think knowing that people will bite is why sometimes we listen to everything Jesus has said for three solid chapters here, all of those wonderful words in red that we know we're supposed to follow. We listen to this Sermon on the Mount and we think, there's no way that's a good idea, because that's not what people are like. That's not what the world is really like. But then Jesus ends it with this silly thing about rocks and sand and house building. And I think he's trying to tell us that this is possible. Why else would he tell us to do it? So all of these things that we've heard for the last 3 weeks, the blessed are at the beginning, and the keeping the law from your heart, and keeping religion between you and God, and trusting God and not judging, all of those pieces are meant to be something we actually do. All of those pieces, Jesus is telling us, are actually possible in the world in which we live. Now, this is hard to do. This is hard to do, not just because we ourselves individually are fallen and broken, although that's also true. These seem impossible because, well, what Jesus describes is not automatically how the world works. Not everyone lives in the way that Jesus describes to us here, and because of that, it seems like maybe we shouldn't live the way he describes to us here either. And so I wonder sometimes, what would the world look like if everyone did live by the Sermon on the Mount? What if everyone lived according to the Sermon on the Mount that Jesus has just shared with us? He's announcing, after all, the kingdom of heaven, the transformation of the world. But then he's also pretty clear that he's not announcing to us a political program. He's not announcing to us something that can be imposed from the top down. He's announcing the transformation of each and all of our lives from within. Now, I have to pause there for a moment and acknowledge that Christian tradition has this really complicated relationship with politics, right? Because we know that the world does need to be transformed, and we know that there are ways that we as people have to work together for the welfare of our communities, but we also know that power corrupts churches as well as it corrupts individuals. And so we need politics for the common good, and we also know that we can't simply present the Sermon on the Mount as a straightforward social program that can be commanded to people. But then we can't also write the gospel off as somehow irrelevant to the way that our social relationships work together. So maybe the question isn't, what if everyone lived by the Sermon on the Mount. Maybe the question is, what if nobody else lived by the Sermon on the Mount, but we did anyway? What if no one else lived by the Sermon on the Mount? Would it be feasible for us to live by the Sermon on the Mount? I think that our worst habits are the defensive habits that we acquire because we know that not everyone in the world is going to behave in a trustworthy way, in the way that we would like them to all the time. That is, I think our worst habits come from assuming that somebody else is up to no good. It's counterintuitive, I think. We tend to see bad behavior as aggressive, as saying, well, I'm more important than you, I'm entitled. And of course, we have plenty of social structures that reinforce the way that we go through the world as entitled. But I think it's true that more often, that aggressive behavior is at root insecure behavior, which makes it reasonable if the world is basically a threatening place. It's reasonable to respond to say, well, I'll get you before you get me because everyone's out to get everyone. Like that dog that bit me. I knew I was going to take him home. He didn't know that. He didn't know to trust that I was going to be able to take him back where he belonged. He thought I might be a threat, and because he was defensive, he was more dangerous to me than he would have been otherwise. So, what would it take to live as if dogs and people too just want safety and love? That's how that golden rule that we read together looks in my life, or at least how I hope that it will look in my life. When we say, do unto others as you would have them do to you, it means that we're assuming, at least practically speaking, that they will respond in kind. And I've found that at least as I look at the world, people usually do respond in kind. If I act unto them as I would like them to act back to me, they often do. In fact, people usually know the golden rule. They often know it by that name, or sometimes by another name. Jesus was not the only rabbi of his time to call that golden rule the core of the Jewish law and the prophets. And most other religions have some version of the golden rule in their ethical teachings as well. And I've certainly seen plenty of atheists or Muslims or Buddhists or Rotarians or Boy Scouts who are more ethical than many Christians are, as they use that golden rule as a measure for their own behavior. Now, there are also plenty of times that I fall short of that rule, and at root, I find that I fall short of that rule when I'm assuming that somebody else is not going to live by that golden rule either. But you know, they may or they may not. Sometimes people bite. That's not everything Jesus means when he says, don't judge so that you may not be judged, but I think it is part of it. I think part of that don't judge so that we are not judged means that we don't let someone else's behavior determine whether we're going to love them. We don't let someone else's behavior determine whether we're going to be trustworthy toward them. The question is not, will my neighbor live like they believe the golden rule? The question is, do I live like I know the golden rule? Even if I'm the only one in the world who lives like that. And that won't always go well for us. Sometimes people will bite, but it is how the power of God takes hold in our lives and in our world. I don't think it's too much for Jesus to say that the golden rule is the law and the prophets, and I would suggest probably the gospel as well. I think we can think about that cross up there as Jesus showing us what the golden rule really means, as he treats us the way that he would have us behave as well. because he calls us, he asks us, he invites us, expects us to give our lives for the sake of each other. And so he gives his life for us as well. He doesn't wait to see whether we're going to respond in kind. He just gives his life anyway and invites us to follow. And then the resurrection shows us that the cross was not just some noble sacrifice to make a point. Rather, it was an act that transforms our lives, that changes the rules in a way that makes self-giving not only possible, but right. And so we are free to nurture communities like this, where the golden rule becomes realistic. We're free to live the way that Jesus teaches, trusting our life to bring the kingdom of heaven into being, despite the scars that we will sometimes carry from that work, because that too is the gospel. Let us pray. O Lord, teacher of the gospel, giver of life, you call us to put your kingdom into practice. So renew our hearts, transform our perceptions, give us faith to trust in you, so that we may follow your way into the life you give this world. Amen. And now, a moment for mission.
Okay, I think we have a moment for mission for the friendship dinner.
Good morning. I'm Koto Boiker.
And I am Karsten Barker. We are here this morning to ask you for your support and invite you to attend our youth group friendship dinner fundraiser.
The dinner will be a three-course Italian meal, cooked and served by the youth group on the evening of February 23rd at 6 p.m. Each youth will perform a talent while you enjoy your food. This will be dinner entertainment that you will not want to miss.
Tickets are on sale now. You can purchase them today after worship in the Northex. Tickets are also available anytime by emailing Laura or calling the church office.
Tickets are $15 per person for dinner. We are also providing on-site childcare for the low price of $3 per child.
Funds raised at the friendship dinner will be used to support our mission projects and outdatings during the next school year.
This year, we are happy to announce that we'll also raising money for a summer mission trip. In July, we will be traveling to Omaha for a long weekend of inner city mission work. There will be 9 total youth traveling together, and we are very excited for this experience.
We encourage you to buy your tickets today.
Last year, tickets sold out, so don't delay. We hope to see you there. Thank you.
Thank you for listening. Learn more about our mission at wdmcovenant.org.